What does that mean to you? It means that God is a God of freedom and deliverance. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we thank God for who He is and all the many ways He wants us to be free, to serve Him, to honor Him, to make an impact in our world. I want to read you a little something about what one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, there were 56 signers, July 4th, 1776. And as they gathered together and they signed their paper, it was a death sentence and they all knew it. They signed that declaration. One of the signers was John Adams. And after they signed that independence document, John Adams wrote a couple of letters to his wife, Abigail, the next day. And in one of the letters, he wrote this: "I am apt to believe that this day will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival." And my God, after all these years, 254 years, we still celebrate this day, even though the woke culture in our society and in our culture, the woke movement, wants to destroy the 4th of July, doesn't want there to be celebration, doesn't want the American flag to fly proudly. They just want to snuff out the remembrance of our Day of Independence. And he said that he believes that this will be a celebration in every succeeding generation after this. And it will be a great anniversary festival. And then he said it ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. Don't tell me God wasn't in the birth of our nation. You've come too late to be able to convince us of this. Critical race theory will try. Don't buy into the poisonous apple. Don't bite it. Don't buy into it. God has given birth to this nation. But even though God has given birth to this nation, when a nation or a people dishonors God, God will resist that people or nation. History tells us this. The Word of God clearly states this. And we're really at a very critical moment in our nation. God is looking at His people, the church, sons and daughters of God, as leaders of the body of Christ, the congregations, the church. He's wanting His church to rise up as the remnants that He's called us to be, and set the tone and lift up a standard and not be silent in the face of tyranny and oppression. And so when I read this about John Adams, I actually read this morning. He said this ought to be a commemoration of the day of deliverance and by solemn acts of devotion or fresh commitment to Almighty God. I want everybody to stand to their feet. And this morning we are going to make a fresh devotion to God. But I'm going to ask you to do something, church. This 4th of July, take a step of faith. I want you, if you want to devote yourself afresh to God, to come on down into the pit as we sing this song together. Come on down, stand with us. Stand with us, stand with God. He's looking for a remnant that will say, I will stand with you, God. I will raise up a standard. I will not be silent in the face of oppression, in the face of tyranny. God, my faith and my hope is in you, not in our government. Although God will move in our government, He must move in our government, the highest authority in the land outside of God. God is involved in government, but our ultimate hope is is in God. He is our Redeemer. John Adams claimed that God was our deliverer, not only as a nation, as a people, but also as individuals, as sons and daughters of God. 4th of July is a prophetic day. It's a picture of celebrating not only a natural deliverance from Great Britain, coming into a place of liberty and freedom, but also celebrating our freedom from our Redeemer, that He has cleansed us and washed us in the blood. But we have to make a devotion to God today. As you stand here this morning, I want to read a verse of Scripture that came to me this morning. I want you to listen to it. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord, that's what stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. One, the Lord, the one God, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen of His inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on all His inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers their ways. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. He's saying if you put your hope and your trust in your natural armies and strength, natural strength, it's futile. He says no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by his own great strength. A horse is in vain. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither is it delivered by any of its great strength. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in a time of famine. So the psalmist said, our soul waits for the Lord. He's our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. So we stand here today. We will worship God and we'll cry out for His mercy. You know what His mercy is? His mercy is when God doesn't give you what you actually deserve and should get. The punishment you should get. God doesn't give you the punishment you get. But you've got to divide this rightfully in Scripture. Mercy comes after repentance. It comes after repentance. It's a gift from God. It's God not giving you what you actually deserve. That's mercy. So Lord, as John Adams said, today we stand here on 4th of July and we remember you giving birth to a nation in many ways who has snubbed you and forgotten you. We want to return back to you, God. We want to return back to your mercy. We want this nation to be great again. Just open up your eyes. Just read the newspaper. Look at the news. The nation is quickly and swiftly departing from God Almighty, from the highest level of authority in the land. They don't recognize God. They don't want to know who God is. They're teaching our children that there's no God. They're teaching our children that America is intrinsically evil. Now we're going to sing a little louder right now. We're going to sing a hallelujah right now in the face of our enemy. You, NBCC, we're going to sing a little louder. It'd be nice if we got some stragglers out there to come on into the herd down here, because there's authority and strength in numbers. Step forward and make a fresh devotion to God Almighty today. Come on, Maya, let's sing this. Got the mic on? Check, check. Check, check, check.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Arasha de gara patu de gara sadero. Arasha de gara patu de gara sadero, gara patu de gara sadero. Arashadera gara paturu gara gara satero gara paturu gara gara satero gara paturu gara gara satero. Jesus. 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 God, hear your people. Hear your people, Jesus. Hear your people. Hear your people. Hear your people, Jesus. Hear the cries. Jesus. Jesus. There's been such a wrestling. Such a wrestling in the spirit the past couple weeks. And it's hard. It's like hard to move in this atmosphere. And I don't know if anybody else is sensing that. We gotta fight. We gotta fight. God, I take authority right now over that spirit of intimidation. I take authority of that right now coming at this house. I take authority over the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come, Jesus, come, Jesus, come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Jesus. We need you to come, to come, to please come. We need your power, and we need your authority, and we need your glory. Jesus, 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 we need your government. Jesus, we need you to come and deal with the devil. Every word curse that has been spoken against this house, we cancel it out right now. We cancel it out right now. Knowingly or unknowingly, all of the criticism, all of the slander, all of the gossip, we take authority over that right now and we put it under our feet. We declare victory over the devil. God is alive and we will step through the door. This house is coming in. We are going to come in. We are coming in. We are coming in. We are not backing down. We are coming in. We are going to go through. We are going to push. We are going to press. Jesus! Jesus. 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 Mercy. Mercy. God, have mercy! 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 We have lost our way! We have lost our way! We have lost our way! God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Forgive us for not upholding your truths. Who but the church? If we do not stand on the word of God, who will? Who does? It's us. It's us. We have that responsibility. We believe him. Do we? Because there's a lot of confusion in the church today. There's a lot of confusion. And there's a lot of people in the church that don't think sin is sin. It's true. And it's one thing to fall into sin. It's one thing to backslide. It's another thing to think that you're not backslidden and that God's fine with all of it. And we're confusing people. And there are people who call themselves Christians that will lead you out of that safe place with God. A place that when you fall, that you can repent. Because we understand what His Word says. And we believe what His Word says. And we know that we need Him and that we need His blood. But there are people that will lead you away from that and tell you, you don't need to repent. That's not a sin. That book is old and it's dated. In the church, that it's not loving and it's not kind. And that hits the Christian, a Christian who really understands God's love. And we don't want to be accused of not being loving. So we compromise and we dumb it down. All of it. All of it. Do we care? Do we care? Do we care that our children are confused? Where's the conviction? Where's conviction? And we're afraid to go up and convict somebody. We're afraid to make them feel uncomfortable about where they are. We don't even align our prayers with God's direction for our children's lives, do we? Even our adult children, make your choices. Go the wrong way. We've all done it. And I still love you. But I can promise you, I'm praying for you every day that God gets a hold of you and turns that thing around. Every day. I'm not in agreement. I'm not dumbing it down. I'm not thinking maybe He'll work it out along the way. Every day, my prayers will be aligned with heaven and with what God has to say. With what God has to say. And we've lost our salt. And we've lost our light. And that's the truth. And we can talk louder and we can preach harder and we can sing harder. But if we don't have salt and we don't have light, we are just a banging gong and a clanging cymbal and God's not listening. Untangle us from this mess we've gotten ourselves into. Untangle us, God. Untangle us. It's you, God. It's only you. You're the only one that can get your church out of this mess. We need you to move. All the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put this nation back together again. There is no army strong enough but the army of heaven that could put this nation back together again. We need you to come. We need you to convict. He is the consuming fire. He is the burning flame. He is the one that rights wrongs. He makes the crooked path straight and the rough places smooth. He comes into this thing. And He uses us to do it. What does that look like? What does that look like? What does that look like? Jesus, renew our convictions. Renew our conscience, God. Give us a heart to see the lost for real. Give us a heart to know where they're going. Give us boldness to be okay with not being liked, with having to play the bad guy sometimes. I'm so thankful that you gave me parents that weren't afraid to play the bad guy. Go and find them. Go and find them. Jesus. Come and find us. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and he let you be hungry. He humbled you and he let you be hungry. Do you think he's like that? Do you think he's like that? Because when you know he's like that, dinner's ready. Dinner's ready. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand. And all you're getting, get understanding. That he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Man lives on the word of God. Have we kept his commandments? The wilderness is all about making you completely dependent upon him. I'm going to teach you how to depend on me for everything. I'm going to teach you how to be hungry, because on the other side of that is a cry to make me full. It's a prayer. I will use your suffering and I will use your pain and I will use the persecution to draw you closer to myself. I will use your desire for more to give you more of myself. The lack, all of it. Because there's nothing on the other side of the wilderness that you can do in your own strength. Nothing, nothing, church, nothing. All of it, all of it, all of it. The big churches, the lights, the camera, the action, it all got torn down, all of it. It's all gone. It's all gone. And everybody knows it too. Everybody knows it. And we all thought that's where it was. When our church was getting hit so hard because we were preaching the word and we were calling it out and we were saying enough is enough and God wants his church back and we're going to take a stand and we're going to do something about it and we're not going to be silent and we're going to hold people accountable because it's good for you and it's good for the person you're hurting. Because that blood's on my hands and that blood's on his hands when you let stuff go like that in the house. But the lights were really good, right? We had people that they could sing. They could sing. And we put on big shows and there was a lot of charisma and there was a form of godliness. But there was no power. Nobody was changing. Nobody. And I understand that change and process looks different for everybody. This was not that. This was, I don't care. I don't care that I'm hurting somebody else. I don't care that I'm taking advantage of something. I don't care that I'm using my position of leadership to control people and to manipulate people. I don't care that I'm competitive and jealous. And after worship or after the exhortation or after the message, I find five people in the back to slam the pastor because I didn't get what I wanted. That's I just don't care. That's different. Then it might take you a little time to overcome some of that stuff because you've been doing it for so long. And you think it's you, but it's not. That's different. So we started dealing with all of it because we wanted God to have his church back, and we wanted him to come into this place, and we wanted to feel his presence again. And we were sick and tired of sensationalism, and we were sick and tired of getting fed by human beings and making them our idols and coming back next week the same. And everybody's leaving, and everybody's leaving, and everybody's leaving. And the devil's watching to see if we're going to submit. Are you going to say what they want to hear now? 5 more left. Are you going to say what they want to hear now? Another 10 left. Ooh, the closest person to you. They got a whole bag of tricks. Are you going to bow to me now? And you just can't. Even though it hurts, and even though you're getting jacked up all over the place, and even though you don't know what's going on, and sometimes you get confused, you still can't bow. What is that, God? God, he tries us. Yes, he does. He tests us, and he takes us into that wilderness to humble us. Everything you thought you were good at, you don't know anymore. Everything that you could do in your own strength, it's gone. Confidence is crushed. Warfare everywhere. And God comes. And he doesn't come with some fancy thing. He comes with just enough. Just enough manna to get you to the next day, because you're not ready yet. Because God forbid he give you mercy before you're all the way out of that thing. Because like a dog returns to his vomit, so will I. So will I. And I know that's the truth about me. But it's not fun. It's not fun to be vetted, and it's not fun to be strengthened, and it's not fun to be disciplined, and it's not fun to have to find him sometimes. I want a quick fix, just like everybody else does. I do. I'm looking for the exit just like everybody else is. It would be so great and so just easy sometimes to backslide. It would just be so easy. It's so much easier to sin. It's so much easier. It really is. You're going to call the church religious. Don't call the church religious. When your friend is that church and they're telling you don't go that way because that man isn't saved. And even if he gets saved tomorrow, because we got this little flaky thing in our heads, right? Because we take that scripture that says, when Jesus said, if your spouse gets saved, if you get saved and your spouse isn't saved, don't leave him for the fact that they might get saved. That was talking about two people that were already married, and one of them gets saved in the midst, and they were both heathens. He wasn't saying, go find a heathen to marry, and maybe they'll get saved. Because it's a disaster. I did it. Even if they do get saved, with some people, even if they do, is that enough for you? We all know what it's like to be a baby Christian. Is that enough for a full-grown Christian? Are you satisfied with that? So we're not religious. Don't say that we're religious. If you want to say, I know it's wrong, and I want to go backslide, and I just want to go sow my wild oats, I'll pray that one day you'll become a prodigal and you'll come back home. But at least know it's sin. At least don't say it's religion, because it's not religion. So everybody left, right? Everybody keeps leaving. Everybody keeps leaving. Everybody keeps leaving. And Hillsong decides, and don't get me wrong, we sing a lot of Hillsong songs, but they decided that they were going to go plant a church in Norwalk, right? Sono. And all the people that left are whispering, oh, as soon as that church comes into town, they'll start giving us what we want. They'll bring that ministry back to life. And they'll start doing what we think they should be doing. It's not there. And neither is that pastor, the leader of Hillsong. And he knew there was something off anyway with the whole thing. God came because I saw it. And I saw the celebrity stuff. And I saw the seduction. And I saw the hypocrisy, and I saw the hyper-grace, and I saw, you know, there's something really beautiful about a confident Christian that can just take a stand in love. That's attractive to the world. If they think you can be bullied, they will not listen to you. So that comes out, right? It all comes out. All these younger people and some of these older offended people that were just enamored by the glitter and the lights. And they always were. They always were. And we tried to get it off of them. We tried to get it off of them. We tried to settle them. We tried to get them rooted in this thing. And if you want to go into the world and you just want to use your gift and you want a mic and you want to be a celebrity and you want to be popular, there's the world. Go for it. But not here. Not here. Not here. Not here. So all of it, all of the shaking and everything that was happening in our house and all of these big giants that would rise up against us all the time. Here comes another one. Here comes another one. Here comes another one. Bam, COVID hit and shut it all down. Don't tell me God is not doing something. It looks messy. It looks scary. It looks like God might not be in this, but he's in it. He's in it. He's in it. He's in it. Because people weren't listening. The church wasn't listening. It was just everybody just kept saying, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, and then we would put on some skinny jeans and we would start singing again and playing a cool song, and nobody would repent over anything. And what were we repenting over? There's got to be something specific. It's just words. It's just words, and God sees it and knows it when it's just words. No, we need to repent for Jezebel usurping the authority and us allowing it as an Ahab to go on because we want to build our churches. For sin to be allowed to run rampant because we don't want to upset anybody because we want to build our churches. Not wanting to discipline anybody because we just want to build our churches. Giving anybody the mic because we just want to build our churches. Never checking in with God once on if God was the one building that church. And we wonder sometimes, even here, and we're okay with it, because God's drawn to the humble, but he resists the proud. And we know our papa's close to us. We know he has come to this house. And we know that his presence is going to get stronger. And we know that he's going to pour himself out. Because when you build your house on sand, straw, hay, it doesn't last in those seasons of shaking. It just doesn't. So here we are, 300. And we're going to be just fine. We're going to be just fine. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus, for reconciling yourself back to the house, reconciling your word back to the house, for reconciling your conviction back to the house, for allowing your spirit to come in and be a part of this thing, that it would be a witness, that it would bring us, lead us into all truth, God, all truth, that we wouldn't stop until we come all the way into the light where you are, where there's real joy and there's real peace and there's real righteousness, where my enemy is truly under my feet and the glory is hot, hot.
Come on, give Jesus a hand. My God, my God, my God. Oh, Jesus. Man, you know you got authenticity when you come to this house. Like no other, you get authenticity. But you are down in the pit with us today. And it's a different type of service because you're engaged in this service. And you have a heart's cry in this service to realign with God, like John Adams said, when he said, a fresh devotion to the Lord on this day that we celebrate, the Day of Independence, it's realigning ourselves to God and repenting of our sin. How many churches are repenting today on the 4th of July? And so we got to have both. We got to have a celebration, but we have to have a repented heart. Because God is looking for the humble heart, the humble people, the humble church, that he would exalt them. It's God that exalts a nation. And it's also God that brings down nations. But God exalts the humble, and he brings down the prideful. And we must stay in a posture of humility. And I'm just looking at those who are down here today, engaging in this service. And you are the strength of this church. You are the critical mass of what's about to happen in the days to come and the months to come. And God is looking at this devotion. He's looking at this commitment. He's looking at the open heart. He's looking at the heart that cries out in repentance for God to forgive us of our sin. And so I appreciate you today. We appreciate you. And today is a day of shifting. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, those 56 founders, there was no independence yet. There was no manifestation of their dedication and their commitment. There was no manifestation of their cause that they decreed on that document. There was no change, but there was a shift in the spirit. Why? Because God found a people that would not give in to tyranny and oppression and the works of evil. He found a people, although they may have looked frail and weak in the natural, the colonies, opposed to the ruler of Great Britain, the world ruler at that time, the world power at that time. The 13 colonies looked weak and frail compared to the oppressive armies and the tyranny and the evil and the overstepping of boundaries and the intimidation of Great Britain. In the natural, you could never think that we could win a war. But God found a people that drew within themselves to find strength and fight in a time where everything depended on action. They had argued with Great Britain. They argued before the throne. They had conversation after conversation. Nothing was happening. What if they just gave up and said, God, we just depend on you. God, whatever your will is, let your will be done. No. God was trying to stir up a fight in his people, a fight in those colonies. Instead of flight, he was looking for fight, and he always does. We have been fighting here. We've been raising up a standard, and we've not been silent. And so God is honoring that today. I want you to lift up your hands. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, this day on 4th of July, we thank you. We thank you as a local church. We thank you for the cleansing. We thank you for the work that you've done in us, that we have not bowed, that we have not bowed out that we have not given in, oh God, but we've resisted the evil. We've resisted it. We've closed doors of wickedness even in this house. And you are raising up an army in this time, oh God, an army that shines bright in this nation, oh God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing, and we're privileged to be part of it. On this Independence Day, we make a fresh devotion to the living God, the captain of the Lord's host. We make a fresh commitment to you, God. We lift up our hands in surrender, and we say, God, here we are. Use us. Use us, God. Use us and everything in our history, everything we've gone through, that you would use us to raise up a standard in the Northeast, that you would use us to raise up a standard even in this nation. We feel honored and privileged to be called by you. And we thank you, God, and we thank you, and we honor you, and we bless you, and we worship you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for our deliverance. We thank you for our freedom in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Give Jesus a hand. Come on now. The great deliverer. Come on now, give Jesus a hand. God bless you. Happy 4th of July. Enjoy the festivity. Enjoy the celebration. And don't forget the God in whom you serve. And give him honor today. Be blessed. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. God bless you.